Hey, what's going on, y'all? So, football season's all over and done with in the rear view, and now it's time for baseball once again. More importantly, it's time for Giants baseball. I'm your host, Darius Lott, and this is Second and King.
Welcome to Second and King, your one-stop shop for everything San Francisco Giants. And now, here's your host, Darius Lott.
Welcome to the first edition of Second and King. As I said before, I am your host, Darius Lott. And today we're going to be talking San Francisco Giants, man. We're going to talk about 2025 and all the things that are in store for the Giants as they head into this new season under this new era with Buster Posey as the president of baseball operations. Yeah, that's still a weird sentence even for me that this guy who is a franchise icon and one of the most popular players in Giants history is now running the team, essentially. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, a little background about myself. I've been a Giants fan for a very long time. I first got into the Giants through my brother and my dad. They were big fans. And some of my earliest memories would be going to games with my family in the mid to late 2000s, you know, in the midst of Barry Bonds chasing down the home run record. And I really discovered myself as a fan after the Bonds era with guys like Tim Lincecum, Matt Cain, Pablo Sandoval coming up and making, you know, impact on the Giants. So yeah, I've been a fan for a long time, and I love this team, and I love talking everything baseball, especially about the Giants. So I thought, you know, a podcast seems like a good idea. That seems like the logical next step for me. So here I am. We're going to talk some Giants baseball here today. So new era, like I mentioned, for the Giants. Farhan Zaidi, the former president of baseball operations, is now out. Underwhelming tenure as the president of baseball operations for him, especially the last three seasons. The Giants went and won 81 games, then 79, and then 80 games last season. Only one winning season under Farhan Zaidi, which is very disappointing. But it was a big one. They won 107 games, and they won the National League West, which the Dodgers have had a stranglehold on for years. But, you know, one winning season does not, you know, equate to a good tenure. So it made all the sense in the world why the Giants decided to cut ties. But it's still surprising to me that they went with Buster Posey as the president of baseball operations. I don't hate it. It's just Buster doesn't have any experience in this realm, you know. He hasn't even been a part of a front office. You know, he's part of the ownership team, but not a part of making day-to-day decisions that affect the team. But he's got the book now. Him and his GM, Zach Manassian, are now at the helm. And we're going to see what they're going to do with this team and see what they're all about. One of the things I wanted to talk about first is potential direction that they might have. We saw them, you know, go after Willy Adames in free agency, you know, sign him to a 7-year, $182 million deal. So at first that set the precedent that, oh man, the Giants aren't messing around. They're going to take big swings. They're going to go after big name free agents. And then you had all the rumors and the talk about them going after Corbin Burns. And it seemed like pretty much a done deal. Like, oh, he's going to be a San Francisco Giant. It's pretty much, you can mark it down. It's as good as done. And then it went quiet for a while. We didn't hear anything. And then out of the blue, he signs with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that was a bit disappointing. It was a big kick to the gut for many Giants fans that they didn't get the former Cy Young Award winner in the rotation. But maybe that wasn't part of the deal. You know, maybe that wasn't part of Buster's plan or what he had set out for this team. And I guess we'll just dive deeper into what they might be looking to do. So we see how the Dodgers have, you know, created their team. You know, they've spent big. They went out and got some of the biggest names in baseball that you could think of. They got Shohei Ohtani just last year. They brought back Teoscar Hernandez. They had Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. Just star-studded team, you know, throughout the lineup, the rotation, everything. So with them being such an attractive destination and teams, I mean, rather players just wanting to go there, you know, it makes it a little bit harder for the Giants to kind of just throw money out there and see if guys will take it. Because if you're a player, why wouldn't you go to the Dodgers? I hate saying that, but there's just so much going on right there. And the Giants are kind of in a weird spot that they're not even sure where they're going right now. So with the Giants and the Buster Posey, he kind of really alluded to it in a press conference of his about giving a lot of leeway to young players in the Giants system. Guys like Luis Matos, Marco Luciano, just to name a few. Because, you know, you got to kind of know what you have in these guys. I think that's important. I think it's important for them to have a shot to go out there and, you know, sink or swim, for a better, you know, for a better term. You know, you got to kind of figure out, do these guys factor into our long-term plans? You know, that after this season, Luciano and Matos both are out of option years, so you can't just send them down, you know, in between the major league team and the minors. So they got to find out what they have in those guys and then other guys as well. And I feel like this is a pretty good move, you know, considering that if you can't compete in terms of luring big name free agents out here, then you might as well put all your effort into building from within. So I champion that. I think that's a great idea. If you look at how the Giants were able to maintain form and be competitive in the 2010s, a lot of it was due to their young talent, you know, their homegrown talent. Buster Posey, you know, of course, he was like the main face. Then you had guys like Matt Kane, Tim Lincecum, Pablo Sandoval, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, just to name a few, you know. So I think going that route and then going out and spending wisely in specific areas, not wisely like Brett Wisely, but you know what I mean. Just trying to fill the holes in the roster as you see fit as time goes on. So I like that. I don't, you know, we'll see more as it takes shape and if it has any real success to it. You hope to see some progress, but you never know how these things are going to work out, you know. So I'm going to be patient. Typically, you won't see any real change or any real progression right away. You probably have to wait 5 years at the most to see some real headway made in terms of a front office regime and their new vision. So I'm gonna give Buster time on that. He's got the benefit of the doubt right now for me, and I hope it works out, because I feel the same way a lot of you probably do. You know, it's getting restless. You know, we're all getting a little tired of not making the playoffs, having subpar seasons. Either we're at 500 or we're below 500. We're missing the playoffs. The Dodgers are just running the show. They're always in the playoffs, everything, all this. And I can see where it could be frustrating as a Giants fan, especially when we take swings at big free agents. Another thing that's very frustrating, you know, it happened with Bryce Harper. It happened with Aaron Judge. It happened with Shohei Ohtani. You know, we just keep kicking ourselves after we try to go after these guys and they just don't want to come here. So, you know, hopefully this new regime can get us back on track. As far as what the Giants lost and what they added, one of the big losses was Blake Snell. He unfortunately went to the Dodgers, so go figure there. At least he took Michael Conforto with him. So, you know, a little silver lining there. We also lost Tyro Estrada, Blake Sable, as well as Taylor Rogers. But they did add Willy Adames on a 7-year, $182 million deal. This was an area of great need for the Giants. Shortstop has been lacking. You know, we had the tail end of Brandon Crawford's time. And then just a revolving door like Brett Wisely, Casey Schmidt, Tyler Fitzgerald, Donovan Walton, just to name a few. There's actually more, I'm pretty sure. But those were the guys that were going in and out of the shortstop position. Well, Willy Adames alleviates that headache. He will be here for the foreseeable future. He's a big upgrade at that position, and I look forward to seeing him in a Giants uniform for a long time. Then we have the acquisition of Justin Verlander. He signed for a 1-year, $15 million. He is 41 years old. This will be his 20th major league season. And we're going to see if the future first ballot Hall of Famer has anything left. You know, he has made it a point to say he wants to continue to pitch until he's 45. We'll see if he can do that. You know, last year he dealt with a lot of injuries. He wasn't completely himself. He wasn't super healthy. But I think there are some peripherals that actually make him an intriguing option for the Giants. You know, he's a veteran, of course, so he'll be able to help guys like, say, Kyle Harrison, Hayden Birdsong, as they, you know, continue to make progress their way up and become key contributors for the Giants team in this rotation. It kind of gives me Randy Johnson to the Giants vibes. You know, I'm sure you've all seen that meme when this deal went down. But remember, they got Randy in 2009, and you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we all saw what happened the year after. You know, Randy had a very big impact on that rotation, you know. So I expect Justin Verlander to hopefully have that same impact on, you know, our guys as well. Career Gold Glove, and I expect him to have a few more of those by the time his career is over. Projections for 2025, at least from his defensive metrics, they seem very strong. Offensively, they have him below average with a weighted runs created plus of 90. So we're gonna have to see about that. First base, we have the platoon tandem of Lamont Wade Jr. and Wilmer Flores returning. Hopefully they can stay healthy. That was a big area of concern from them last year. We just weren't able to see enough of them. So that was pretty, we'll see. But, you know, Lamont's projected to have a WAR of 1.3 with a WRC plus of 113. Wilmer will be just about league average with a RWC plus of 100. So, you know, I think I'd take that. We still have some intrigue at first base with Bryce Eldridge waiting in the wings. Second base looks to be Tyler Fitzgerald. Buster made it abundantly clear that he would get a lion's share of the time at second base. And his projections, you know, they do expect some regression, which I kind of anticipate as well. They think he's only going to be projected at a 97 WRC plus. We'll see, because he had a really strong year, especially, you know, with the bat. He had 15 home runs. I believe that was his total from last year. And he just went on this incredible tear just out of nowhere. And it really surprised a lot of people. It got, you know, baseball people's and media outlets' attention. So if he can come close to matching that in some way, I'd be thrilled with that because I think he opened up a lot of eyes last year. Willy Adames, as we mentioned, he's the guy at second base. He looks like he'll do pretty much his same thing that he's been doing. Some slight number changes given that he's going from hitter-friendly Miller Park, I refuse to call it American Family Field or whatever the hell it's called. But all in all, those are some solid projections from him. 4.1 WAR, WRC plus of 110. His new companion on the to his right on the infield, Matt Chapman, who had a very strong year for the Giants, got himself the bag. The Giants extended him for another 6 years for $151 million. So more Chappy to come. He was very popular, you know, from his time here in the Bay, going back to when he was an Oakland A. And they expect him to have roughly about the same amount of impact that he did last year. So far, so good. You know, there's some things to be excited about. Elliot Ramos, who was a very welcome surprise last year, he really broke out. You know, we were kind of waiting for him to finally get it going. You know, he's 25 years old now. And boy, did he ever. 269 batting average, 322 on base, 469 slugging, good for a WRC plus of 120. Even popped 22 home runs. One of those ended up in McCovey Cove, making him the first right-handed hitter to ever record a splash hit in Giants history. So yeah, that's the kind of opposite field approach he comes with. And he earned himself an all-star nod. So hopefully there are more good things to come when it comes to Elliot Ramos. Big fan of him for a long time and was hoping for a long time that a year like that was coming. Another guy I'm intrigued by that I can't wait to see back on the field is Jung-Hoo Lee. I remember being very excited when they first signed him last offseason. They brought him in. They gave him a six-year, $113 million deal. Great bat-to-ball skills, great speed, good defense out in center field, and a plus arm. But unfortunately, his season was cut short. He went for a ball that was hit out in center field, and he collided with the wall, and he tore his labrum. And that abruptly cut Jung-Hoo Lee's season short right then and there. So we didn't really get the full Jung-Hoo Lee experience. Hopefully we get that this year. He's got some really nice projections. 114 WRC plus, 762 OPS. They think he'll be at least a 3-WAR player. I would love, yeah, there's plenty more projections out on him that are very favorable. And I think if he sticks at the top of the lineup, I know there's talk about him potentially moving to the 3 spot. I personally would keep him leading off because of his speed and his ability to take the extra base, steal, go first to third, you know, things like that. I think that's very much a strength that you want at the top of the lineup. But we'll see. They're playing with the idea right now as we are going through spring training. Now in right field, it's interesting. We have Mike Yastrzemski. Mike had a pretty solid year all in all. Was a Gold Glove finalist last year. Was just re-upped for $9.25 million to stay with the Giants. I'm pretty sure this is his contract year. And then he'll be a free agent he'll be a free agent next year going into 2026. He gave us quite a bit. You know, he's not everybody's pick. He's not the sexiest option out there, but he's a gamer, man. I enjoy Yaz, but I can see why people would like something else other than the same old, you know, thing. But I think Yaz is a strong candidate right now for right field. I could see him platooning with Luis Matos. Luis Matos is... he's one of those intriguing players on this team right now and this 40-man roster that after this season, I'm pretty sure he's out of option years. So for the Giants, it would be nice to know what they have in him. So he could play a pretty pivotal role, especially if he comes ready. He was playing winter ball, and he was doing really well. I've been watching a lot of the highlights as they were posted online. So, hey, maybe he has an Elliot Ramos-type breakout. Maybe he and Marco Luciano both, because Marco Luciano is another one of those important young players that I think the Giants want to see what they're capable of going forward. You know, he lost his shortstop spot, did Luciano. They tried him at second. It was just as bad. Matter of fact, let me look at his defensive numbers. Let's see here. So, yeah, here we go. At shortstop, he had a -3 outs above average and was good for -2 defensive runs saved. So, yeah, not entirely great, you know, and he wasn't much better at second base either. So all signs show that he's probably headed to the outfield. So we'll see how that goes. But I would like to see guys like Matos and Luciano finally start to put it together, because I think between them and the potential emergence of Bryce Eldridge, the Giants' youth could be their X factor. That could actually help put them over, you know, and help better their playoff odds if those guys are going well on top of repeat performances by, like, Tyler Fitzgerald, Elliot Ramos, and then, of course, what Matt Chapman did and what Willy Adames brings to the table. And then on the pitching side of things, you know, the rotation looks Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander, Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison. At least that's what is listed on Fangraphs. We'll see Hayden Birdsong. I think Hayden Birdsong, from what we've already heard, that him and Kyle Harrison are the favorites. They're leading the charge for the opportunity for that fifth spot in the rotation. We'll see what Jordan Hicks can do. He got off to a really good start last year, but he did eventually run out of gas, you know, and very quickly. You know, it was his first time trying to be a full-time starter. We'll see if it pans out for him this time around. The bullpen, Ryan Walker will close. We have Tyler Rogers, Camilo Doval, Eric Miller, Sean Jelly, Randy Rodriguez, and Tristan Beck as the swingman. I'm interested to see how Lou Trevino looks, as well as Joey Lucchese. They were brought in as non-roster invitees. Eric Miller right now is the only lefty in the Giants bullpen, so if Lucchese looks good, then he could probably find himself in the Giants bullpen, which I would like. I would like to have more than one lefty going for us. And then as far as, like, the bench, this is kind of where there's cause for concern, because it's not the deepest bench in the world. Like, Herrera and Encarnacion, Tom Murphy looks to be the backup catcher, although I just saw today before I started recording that he's dealing with back spasms. So not great. One of the things he struggled with last year was health, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't pretty from a catching standpoint, because Bailey fatigued, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of depth behind him. They kind of addressed that this past offseason. Max Stassi was a non-roster invitee, and they claimed Sam Huff off of waivers from the Texas Rangers. I actually really like that move, because I think there's a lot more upside with Huff than there is with Tom Murphy. I think Sam Huff, the upside, you know, comes with his offensive profile. I think he profiles a little bit better than Tom Murphy, because Tom Murphy, his calling card is he rakes against left-handed pitching, which he didn't even do all that much last year before he went down with injury, and he's a defensive liability, whereas Sam Huff is a little bit more solid behind home plate. So we'll see how that transpires. We'll get more, I think next episode we'll talk more about the non-roster invitees, because there's some interesting ones here. Not guys you'll probably look to and be like, oh, they're going to be difference makers, but they might have a little something that they can add to the Giants going next year. So are they improved from last year? Well, let's see. The Giants went 80-82 last year. I got their projections for 2025 in front of me here. So Pacoda predicts 78 wins. So less than the 80 wins that they had last year. That puts their playoff odds at 15%. Fangraphs is a bit nicer. They say 81. So one better than last year. But their playoff odds are still at 26%. I think that they could very well be anywhere from 83 to 84 wins. But that comes with if things just go well for them, you know, and things, you know, you have to equate for things like injuries and things like that. So we're not sure for sure, you know, there's no exact way of telling. And even these projections aren't a perfect science, you know, that's just based on, you know, certain factors. But we'll see. I would say the young guys could be a X factor for the Giants. And I think I want to touch more about that on a separate episode, because there's a lot we can talk about there. I would like to get more in depth on guys like Marco Luciano and Luis Matos and Bryce Eldridge as well, who could be making his way to the big league club sometime this year. So yeah, I think we'll table that. We'll save that for the next episode. I think I've yapped enough here. We're coming up on the 30-minute mark, but hopefully you guys enjoyed this listen, the inaugural episode of Second and King. If you enjoyed this content, please leave a like and subscribe to the channels if you are on YouTube. For those of you listening on Spotify and Apple Music, please leave a review. I would like to know what you guys think of the show. You know, I'm just starting this out. This is my little podcast journey. And, you know, it's kind of, I'm just doing it for fun right now. You know, I just want to talk Giants, and I want to hear from a lot of like-minded Giants people about how they feel about the team and the team going forward. So yeah, also be sure, I'm on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Second and King. I'll have them on screen here for you peeps here on YouTube. You can follow me there, Spotify, Apple Music. I'll put it in the show description for you. But yeah, that's going to do it for me. I'll see you guys next time. And as always, go Giants.